that is the most radical, weird thing. I don't even know if I'm capable of doing it. That will probably be it. Is that okay? That will probably be it. All right? There's this saying that's been around the church forever. Jesus doesn't call the equipped. Y'all knew it. It's been around. It's a bumper sticker. He equips the called. Is that correct? Do you believe that? All right, good, good. Then, all right, then everybody in this room and everybody's going to hear these messages, guess what? Get ready to be equipped, right? All right, get ready to be equipped. Let's jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, and the 25th verse is add on because it's just good. It don't really belong with this next part, but I read it, and it's good, and I had somebody correct me one time, and they were wrong. Because the foolishness of God, are y'all seeing that? That's where they corrected me right there. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I said that one time to somebody. I said, God's foolishness and his weakness. And this person jumped all over me and goes, God ain't got no foolishness, he ain't got no weakness. I didn't put it in there. Hey, man, I didn't put it in there. That doesn't mean God is foolish and that doesn't mean God's weak. What it means is God can take things that we consider foolish and things that we consider weak and topple nations, kingdoms, people. Does that make sense to you now? Golly, I'm telling you right now, this is so good because the foolishness of God. God will take stuff. Listen, I'm making this prayer. I went down, we just got back from Florida. Y'all know I went on vacation. And this happened to me almost every day. Almost every day of my vacation, this happened. Every day, Charlie, I got up, I said, I'm going to walk on the beach. We go down there to Cape San Blas last couple years. I love it because there ain't nobody there, right? I don't know where that there came from, but there is no one there. Right? There's a very limited, they said, man, this is the last busy week. There were six people on the beach one time, sometimes. Woo, busy, right? There's 10 people at the donut hut. 10. Oh, it's packed. Next week, there'll be three, right? All right, anyway, I'm sorry to give you. I got up every morning. So I'm walking. I'm going to walk out on the beach, and I want to talk to God. I want to focus on God. But Gene, I'm not lying. You know what else I wanted to do? I've lived in Tennessee, Georgia most of my life. It's very rural, same landscape. The North Georgia, Tennessee's same landscape. Most of my life, mountain regions, right? And most hills and mountains, right? But I get down there to the beach, and guess what I do? I'm walking and I'm looking out at that beach. I'm looking out at the ocean, right? And I'm seeing stingrays, crabs, one shark, maybe a dolphin, but I'm seeing all kinds of cool stuff. But then all of a sudden, as I walk every single day, I'm walking. And I'd start out, Charlie, I'm praying, I'm talking to God, seeing really cool stuff. And the next thing you know, I look up the beach, and I go, there's a person. Yeah, I see him 50 yards up there. They're up there. Yeah, there's another person. I see another person. And I said, man, look right up there. That's a sand dune. Yeah. Now I look over a little bit further to the right as I'm going up. That's a pretty neat looking house. Look at that. That's a pretty neat beach house. Maybe when we come down here again, we might get one of those beach houses. It's a really nice beach house. Nice porch. God, I mean, it's almost every day. God would go like this. What are you looking at? You live in East Tennessee, or Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, Johnny, correct me. We live in Tennessee. So guess what he says? Get your eyes on the main thing. That's the first day. Get your eyes on the main thing. I'm back out in the ocean. Stingrays, waves, cool stuff. I'm like, man, this is amazing. You don't see this every day. Guess what? Go down the bit, turn around, come back, get back down there. Oh, here comes some people. Look at that house over there. They've done this, they've done that. God, get your focus. And that's 2 or 3 days. You know what God started speaking to me? Kevin, this is the same thing you're doing in ministry. Get your eyes on the main thing. And don't ever look away. You will see the most amazing things you've ever seen in your life if you will keep looking at me in ministry. The thing that I've called you to do. Not the things you know. Not the things that you already experienced. Me. Now, I'm sitting there going, golly, God, it only took 4 or 5 days to figure it out. I got home, had this message that I'm preaching right here tonight, and I'm thinking, man, I'm loading that baby up Sunday morning. That's what we're going with, right? Friday, we start getting implemented, coming back. Preachers don't take vacations. You start getting information, things come to you. So guess what? I start lining up another message to go along with the message that God's already given me. I have taken my eye off the main thing. You know what I did this morning? I'm glad y'all are here. I'm preaching to you. You know what I did when I walked up here this morning? You know what God said? If you won't get on the main thing, I'll get you on the main thing. I will take. I didn't prepare any of that for this morning. Nothing. You know why? Because God says, this ain't the main thing. You have let a circumstance take over the message, and I won't allow it. Thank God for that. Amen? I'm not that good. I'm not that smart. Miss Carol sent me on the way. She goes, man, that was good this morning. It wasn't because of you. And I agree, sister. Despite of me, I am so glad God will, even if it's at the last minute, God will say, get out of my way. And I am so glad he does. Amen? So guess what? We're back on the message. This is the main thing. This is where we're supposed to be. Amen? God is stronger than men. Verse 26. For you see your calling. Do you see it? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You might want to make that your life verse for the next 3 or 4 years in this church. God doesn't need your ability. He doesn't need you to be a superhero. He don't need you to be super smart. He don't need you to be super talented. He needs you to be available. He needs you to say, just like I've said here before, I give you a blank check. God, if you want to use me, I'll be used. Period. Period. I love that. I love verse 26 so much because God doesn't need great people. He needs willing people. Let's read that again. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men of the flesh. There are some smart people here, no doubt. But is it not true that God usually, when he calls you to do something, he calls you to do stuff that you don't feel qualified to do? When he calls you to do, I know he does it on purpose. We'll get on into it. But when he first says it, I want you to, in your spirit, when I want you to, in your set, the first thing you say is, nope, God, that's not me. And I love it because God's like, no, it ain't. God, I took all this time and education. This is who I grew up being. This is my experience. God, send me over here. That would make so much sense. Now I go over here. I've told you this before. I'll tell it to you again. My first few years of ministry, I don't want to be a youth anything. I don't. I didn't want to be. I still get aggravated. Somebody say, I'm a youth pastor. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm a that. That's fine. If that's who you are, don't get mad at me. But praise God. Why don't you just be this? I will minister to whoever God puts me in front of. Right? I don't have to be anything. You know what God said? First full-time out the slot. Coming out of public service. First full-time ministry. Boys home. God is funny. I don't want to have anything to do with the youth ministry. I don't want to do that. I'll preach to kids. I'll preach to youth. I'll preach them. But praise God, I don't want to be around them all the time. Well, get a 24-hour, 70-day, 3 straight years of nothing but troubled boys. And my own 2 knuckleheads. Amen? Right? Good. Y'all, I'm sorry. Y'all don't have knuckleheads. I had a couple knuckleheads. They got good, amen? Despite me, they got good, amen? If you put your own 2 children with 6 boys in trouble, most of the time they don't pull them up, the boy, they become part of the problem. That's what I meant. for you see your calling. Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God, thank you, Jesus. I get this on a regular basis. You will get this. Why does God need Flat Top Church to do anything? Why does God, out of all the churches in the world, why does He want us to do anything? I do not know. But I do know this. We are planted here. We are here. We are the biggest church on this mountain. We are in this area. And guess what? We are the only lifeline to these people that we live around. We can choose to do two things. Sit in here and continue on and not worry about them, or we can get involved. Amen. We can get involved in their lives, and guess what happens? They feel loved. They feel like we care. Then they will want to know why. And then you'll think, well, that's where the growth will come from. The growth will not come from that. The growth will come from other people saying, you know what? That church is actually a part about doing something. I want to join somebody who is going to be about doing something. Most of the people that we've got coming in the last year are coming here because they want to be a part of something, and they are. Ain't that amazing? But God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Man, I love that. God will take something that looks so insignificant, and at the end of it, they're sitting there going, why does that work? Why are they changing so many people? Why does anybody want to go there? If you don't know what this feels like, wait till about 3 or 4 minutes till Sunday service here and just go outside and look at our parking lot. Just go out there some Sunday morning. I do it almost every Sunday. I'll go back there one more time. One, I want to see if the security guy's awake. I'm just kidding. I go look, and I just want to see it. And I'm still amazed. I'm still baffled. I'm still like sitting there going, wow. Because this is all volunteer army. Some of y'all need to write that baby down. They better do this. They better do this. Golly, but let me tell you this, my friend. Nobody has to show up. Tomorrow they could all go like this. We decided to go down the street. I believe God's better than that, but that is the absolute truth. Amen? Nobody has to do anything when it comes to this. Ain't that a beautiful thing? We choose to serve an awesome God. The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised. Golly, y'all might want to underline that. I'm going to. Right there, that one right there. I'm going to underline that one right there. The things that are you despised? Have you ever been despised? Have you been despised because of what God's doing in your life? You do it long enough, you do it hard enough, you do it right enough, and you will be. I'll guarantee you. You might want to write that one down. God takes the... Here's what I love. If I would have kept on with the message this morning that I was on, God will take the thing that nobody wants to hear from the people He don't want to hear it from, and guess what? He will put you back out in front of them, because guess what? Eventually, somebody wants the truth. Eventually, somebody wants to go, I'm tired of hearing cotton candy stuff. I'm tired of hearing out of reality. My life's falling apart. My family's falling apart. This, tell me the truth, right? I love that right there. The things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, or yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Goodness gracious. Guys, I'm going to show this to you this evening. This is going to be an important part right there. Things that are not. You might want to write that down right there. Things that are not. Some of your service, some of your ministry here has been wonderful and great, but there's something right ahead of you that ain't even yours yet. You ain't even started it yet, but God has got it prepared for you. God, y'all right with that right there? Can y'all handle that? I know that sounds Church of God-ish. That sounds very like, ooh. But it's not that. Watch this right here. I want you to see it. Things which are not. Remember when I flip over to Luke chapter 1, remember that things that are not, that to bring forth those things that are, okay? The things that are not, there are a time in my life, there's a time in your life, there's a time in your life that you went like this. I don't know anything about God. I don't know anything about serving God. But when he called you and he put you into the kingdom of God, but then he gave you a purpose, you were doing things that a year prior to that you had no idea. August 28 of 04, got saved. A year or so later, I started expounding, teaching, and ministering the Word of God. Had no clue that was accessible for me. Right? Does that make sense to you now? Because there's going to be some things that God is going to reveal to you, I hope, if you're praying and you're seeking the Lord, how am I going to be a part of Flat Top Church in the next year? I hope you're praying. I hope you're seeking. And God says, I want you to do this thing. And it sounds crazy. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know how it'll be. But I want to get to the place, and you should want to get to the place where God's giving you crazy, wild things to do. And that's the normal. And the not normal is Him being silent and not asking you to do things that scare you to death. Amen? Wouldn't that be fun? God, y'all better hold on before you sign up for that. But wouldn't that be fun that every day or every week or month or year, God's telling you stuff and He's having you do stuff and you go, man, that's crazy, but I'm going to do it because every time God does that, I get to see God do something that's amazing, new, right? But when God is silent or God is quiet, then you're sitting there scratching your head going, man, what's going on here? Right? Let me give you another Florida one because we just came off vacation. Was it Monday? Monday morning, something like that. I got up early. Here's my vacation. Debbie, I got the weirdest vacation life. I do. It stinks for most people, for me, okay? I usually get up every day, 7:15, every day, right? My vacation life, 5:50. 5:50. Don't know why. Don't know how. Can't explain it. I have to force myself to stay in the bed till 6:30. Have to. I don't know if it's being in a strange environment, not knowing what it is, but 5:50, my mind starts. I do 77 things before anybody else gets up. I've done 77 things, right, before anybody. What'd you do this morning? Walked the beach, cleaned the thing, took the garbage out, drank 14 cups of coffee, read 14 chapters, done this, done that. What have you done? Well, we just got up, stretched, moved. I'm like, cool, that's awesome. All right. But this morning, I got up there. I'm doing the thing. I'm walking. I'm saying, God says, today, I want you to ask somebody to be a part of a service with you, and maybe they can worship, and you can give them a word. 6:30 in the morning, and we're in, you know, Cape San Blas, Florida, and I'm like, God, you're funny. I'm on vacation. I'm not going to be looking like no fool going up to somebody and see if they want to sing a song at some kind of house meeting or whatever else. It's crazy. God, you're crazy. As I'm walking, God says, I am crazy, but you're going to do it. I know you're crazy, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. Oh, you're going to do it. So guess what? Me being up that early that first morning, guess who got to go do the donut run? This guy. So I'm down at the donut shop, first, second, third guy in line. I'm sitting there in the donut line. You know, bugs are eating me. Two guys in front of me and a girl. And they're talking about drinking. They're talking about lying. They're talking about hungover. I'm sitting there going, good. Great. This is crazy. Talk about anything else. By that time, this couple come in behind me, right? And he's standing there and she's standing there. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to avoid it. So I look back here. And all of a sudden he goes, I forgot something in the car. It was bug spray. So he takes off to the car, and when he does, I see on the back of his shirt something Corinthians verse on his back, and I'm like, well, that's cool. God says, talk to him. And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk. It's like 6:45. We're in a donut line. I got to concentrate on what donuts we want. It's important, God. If you ain't ever been, you don't know. It's very sophisticated. It's important them donuts get right. Chocolate on chocolate, right? All right. So I'm standing in the line, and the guy comes back. I'd make a half-hearted attempt. I turn around and say, what's that verse on your back? He goes, I don't even know. Is there a verse on my back? I'm like, yeah, all right. This ain't it. These ain't the people, God. He goes, where are you from? I'm from Tennessee. I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from New York. I said, go figure. All right? He said, but me and my wife, we're married, and we live in New York now. He goes, I'm a retired police officer. I said, well, thank you for your service. He said, why were you asking me about my shirt? I said, Lamar, I was like, oh, my God. Why?
I said, can I really tell you why? And I'm hearing to say you're going to run off into the in the morning air here. I was up this morning praying, and God told me to talk to somebody about maybe doing a service or something. He goes, that would be awesome. I mean, I don't know you, man. He goes, ah, that's cool. But maybe we can do that together. Maybe we can get together and we'll do a service. You want to come to our place? You want to come to your place? I'm like, are you serious? It's like I'm there going, somebody, I'm talking about people from, they're living in Atlanta. They're from New York. Do you want to come over to our bungalow for Bible study? I'm thinking somebody, we're going to kill you or you're going to kill us. You know, I mean, golly, I'm just thinking. He goes, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor and I'm an evangelist. I just love to speak about Jesus. He goes, man, we love Jesus too, and he's doing this in this ministry, doing that in that ministry. Let's see if we can get together and do that. I'm like, that's pretty cool. He gave me, he said, I'll take your info, text information. And I took it. I'm like, right, he ain't gonna do it. He goes, I sent you the text. Something happened. It was his sister happened, whatever. But he texts me every day for the next 3 days, something about getting together, about praying. He said, we're praying for you over here. Will you pray for us over there? We didn't ever, when we were supposed to meet, a birthday thing happened and we couldn't do it. But I'm sitting there though, but we had fellowship for 25 minutes at the donut shop where these three people were talking about everything under the sun. We're talking about Jesus and the change that he's made in New York and Atlanta and Tennessee and everywhere other else. And these people up here totally shut up and they're sitting there listening to us. And then something spiritual happened, Charlie. The donut shop door opened, and we parted ways. Said, all right, that's over. We're done here. Sorry, I thought I had to end that last part. But do you see how God, I mean, you have, if you'll get sold out to Jesus, he will start to drop things in your spirit that sound so radical and so crazy and so weird. But if you'll be obedient to it, God will connect things that you never thought were possible. You'll have conversations, you'll have meetings, and you'll have a network of things going on, and you'll be sitting there going, how did this happen? Because you were obedient to a radical God who gets sick and tired of us sitting around going, God, we want to do something great, we want to do it, and we never just trust him enough to step completely out on that thing and do it. It's that simple. Did I say this is going to be a short message? Awesome. Let's get to that. Verse 20. Is it 29? Did I get all of 28? Let me read that again. I want to make sure. And base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring not the things are. You are right. I did. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That's perfect. Why does God choose the base things? Why does God choose the weak things? Why does he give you assignments that you don't think you're capable of doing? Why does he choose to give you what I call left-handed stuff? I'm right-handed. He gives you left-handed stuff because when it's all said and done, your flesh will not sing out, look what I did, or look how I done this. You will have to say, God done this because I would have never chose me for the job. Okay, y'all ready? Let's go real quick. I'll use this. If we turn our Bibles real quick, it'll make feel like we're going to get done quicker, but we're not. Go to Luke chapter 1 with me. Luke chapter 1. And we're only going to talk about two things left. Two simple ideas tonight, okay? And I'm using this as a commentary to what we just studied, okay? And I might do this a couple more times out of Corinthians, but I want to show this to you. Here's the commentary. Tonight I want you to get... When you're praying for your calling and asking God to help you fit in the body to do whatever we're going to do service-wise here, I want you to start praying and thinking on these lines or thinking on these lines as far as the service goes, your service capability or whatever you have you to do. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 27. Do y'all see that? To a virgin, is where it starts? To a virgin espoused to a man. Do y'all see that? I started chronicling this. I want to start this as a series called The Life of Joseph, right? Or The Ministry of Joseph. Because, and I'm just going to leave it the way it is, because this will be very compatible to women and men. We're just going to leave it in the way it is, Mary and Joseph. Okay, we're going to leave it as The woman is the woman, the man is man. Because there's in our callings, you're going to find yourself. Maybe you're more of the star or the headline person. That's Mary, if you didn't know. Mary was carrying Jesus, and Joseph is a support. Does that y'all make sense? He's a support role, but one's no more important than the other. Does that make sense to you? Because sometimes if we're not careful, God, I'm going to preach so good right here. This is for me. Sometimes if we're not careful, we will give more value to the outward gift than we do the quiet gift. Amen? But if we don't recognize the quiet gift, if you don't recognize some quiet gift people in your life, you will never realize without the quiet people doing the things that they do, the outward person or the speaking part people would never be able to do what they do. Does that make sense? Okay, I want y'all to get that, because sometimes we think, and it happens, and especially in churches, if it's loud and it's excited, it's up here, it's great. If it's quiet and reserved, it's down here, and you need to somehow get here. Amen? Now, I'm saying this, if you're saved and you're born again, sometimes you need to say so. That's okay. But we should not value somebody's gift because it's an outward gift. We should say, wait a minute, is that a valuable person that's doing a lot of stuff that their actions speak louder than their words? Whew, man, was that good? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not telling you I'm a good preacher. I'm just telling you that's good, because if we're not careful, we'll sit there and look at the person who's an outward person or a spoken person and go, that right there is good. That's God. But you'll have somebody over here who's giving, who's working, who's putting forth max effort, who's reaching more people. And that 5 or 10 minutes of outward blow up, which is really good, and it helps a lot of people at that moment. But this over here is sustaining. So I hope that makes sense to you, because it makes a world of sense to me. I've got an outward gift. I do. And I've got the opportunity so many times to speak different places. And in the speaking, sometimes I'll go, what's wrong with you guys? Y'all need to give me something back. Feed me. You know what I mean? Give me some voice. Give me some. And I had a preacher one time about 70-something years old. I swear, this man, he looked like he was 42. He come to me and he put his arm around me. He goes, I'm down long in the tooth, man. I'm about the end of my ministry. I'm looking at him like, what are you just getting started? He goes, I'm 75. And I'm like, Lord. You're going to outlive me easy. I mean, I preach. I'm living out here and on the end. But he says, Kevin, not everybody has to be verbal. Let them hear the word and let them digest. They ain't got to tell you. They ain't got to give you any feedback. Just let it get in. I was like, good Lord. I like to crawl under the door after I left. But he was right, and it helped me. Amen. Gary Loy, he helped me so much. I walked out, I'm like, praise God, he's right. I'm wanting everybody to be like me. That ain't fair. Y'all good? All right, Kevin, please get on with the thing, because you said it's going to be a short message. All right, let's 127. Let's do that. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, let's do this real quick. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1 real quick. I know we don't like doing this, but it's not that hard. It's just a couple chapters over. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay? The first thing I want you to know is God's timing will often be ahead of you. God's timing is ahead of you. He's already got things in the works. All you have to do is submit. All you have to do is get involved. See, if you don't know what I'm preaching about here, right? Jesus, by the angel Gabriel, came to Mary first, solidified the contract, if you will, between Mary and God about Jesus. Mary submitted to the calling, and she's impregnated by way of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph is none the wiser. We've got a lot to unpack in the next few weeks in this message, but God didn't even consult with Joseph before he changed the woman he's espoused to. And this espousing thing right here is nothing like what we, it's not engagement. It's way much more. Amen? They are practically married. They just hadn't went to the service. The dowry has been paid. The families are on agreement. They're on a plan. Joseph is building onto his father's house or properties. He is about to come and get her, and they are going to consummate the marriage. They are going to have a month-long Jewish wedding. They are going to have multiple kids. They are going to do a lot of great things. But can I throw something else in there for you? Can I give you a little knuckleball right here that's kind of weird? Do you know what every woman that was of Jewish descent of this time was wanting to do? Huh? They wanted to have a baby. You know what baby they wanted to have? The Messiah. Ain't that amazing? Every Jewish girl that was getting married, especially of the tribes of Israel, was going, I hope the Messiah comes through me. But ain't it amazing? When the Messiah does come to you, it ain't the way you thought it was going to be going down. Glory, glory. Amen? Everybody wants to do something great for God, but when it comes, it's scary. But I'm still trying to stay right here on Joseph because I want you to get this. The timing, Joseph has to get in with God's plan, and it's already in motion. Guys, this church is already in motion. We are already looking out. We are already stepping into our community. We've got people are thinking, how can we be effective in the community? How can we reach lost people? How can we do things that will change people's lives? And we're going to do those things. We've done several of them already. So you know what we're going to do? We need somebody in here to say, man, Jesus is already on board. I don't need to fight this thing. I need to step into it and do my part. The timing is weird. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. Because let me tell you something. Here's the next part of it. The timing is crazy. But you know what else is crazy? The plan. Gene, the plan. Do you know what God does with your plans? Do you know what God did with Joseph's plans? I guarantee you, Joseph, I want you to get a hold of this. Joseph's up there building on his father's property. He's practically married to her already. He's already put an outward, he's put a dowry out there, and he has got the approval of the father. He's got approval of his family, and he's already, and everybody already knows that's Joseph's wife. And next thing you know, she has a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. Here's what Joseph's plan is. My wife's going to come home. And guess what? We're going to be together, and we're going to create a family. And it's going to, golly, I hope y'all get this. Charlie, I want to preach this correct. You know what he was thinking, Charlie? Here's what I want to get this. I hope we have a boy. If we have a girl, I'm going to have to do a lot of fighting. I'm going to have to do a lot of planning. I'm going to have to reinvent my security around my home. But every man in here, I'm being honest, if I have a boy, oh, Junior, golly, I've only hugged my father-in-law one time in my life, maybe twice. But the first time was when my son was born, and he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He got the greatest hug of his life. I could feel him tapping out. He wasn't hugging me back. He was saying, stop, you're killing me. I just happened to turn. He was like, he gave me, you know how father-in-laws do. He got a full-on bear hug for 5 minutes. I was weeping and crying because there's a boy. I was like, man, this is going to be Junior. This is it. This is my boy. Right? This first child, oh, that's going to be. God said, Ed, this first one is going to be me. Charlie Heffy said, no, 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 Joseph. The first one will be me. That sounds cool sitting in here on the back end of this right here, but I'm going to tell you right now, if God says, hey, your first child ain't going to be your first, you're going to be a stepdad to God. your plans. I guarantee you, it's in the scripture in Matthew chapter 1. I don't know when it was, probably about 3 months. She went to be with her cousin, Elizabeth, stayed up there for 3 months, took one look at her. Plan over. Putting her away privately. Should have her stoned to death. That's what I should do. Living down here in Nazareth with everybody's eyes and ears on me. Small town. I should. Listen, guys, we can be off. We can be as cool as we want to be. I know in his mind, he said, I'm going to put her away privately, but this is what could be a possibility. Right? Your plans, God, don't care. Your idea, listen, there's some of you sitting in this room, well, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this anymore. No, I'm not asking you to do things you can't do. I'm just asking you to do this. Tap into what God would have you to do. I want the youngest person here to be willing to say, hey, I'm ready to do whatever God wants me to do. But I want the oldest person to say this right here, just to be honest with you. God, I want to finish well. Amen? I want to finish well. I don't want to come across the finish line going, man, I wish I want to come across the finish line like God. I want God to think a couple times. Maybe I shouldn't take him out of the game. Amen? That's a sports reference. Sometimes my coach would mess up. He'd be mad at me or something. He wouldn't, especially when I was a sophomore or junior, he'd get mad and bench me. But every once in a while he'd forget or something. He'd go, Kevin, get in there. And I'd get in there. Here's what I thought. I said, dude, I've got to play like my hair is on fire. Before he figures out that I'm not supposed to be back out here. And if I make a mistake, I'm coming off the floor. I'm going to stay out here. And I'm going to work my time. I'm going to get every rebound. I'm going to play defense. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. You know what? I'd do that. I'd come over there after that timeout or what's going on. And he'd look at me and he'd go, you just stay in there and keep doing what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, you're coming out. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, I want God to have to sit up there and go, he's a knucklehead sometimes. He don't do everything I want him to do. But, man, he's hustling. I might as well leave him in the game. Amen? I might as well leave him in the game a little bit longer. He's making a difference. She's making a difference. Finish well. Let's all stand. I know it's not...